Tashara Simmons.
Tashara Simmons.
And hopefully our conversation will live up to the hype.
Hey everyone, it's Tashara Simmons, and you guys are joining me at Freedom of Truth for another amazing week. I hope everyone feels blessed, because I feel blessed and highly favored. Today, all my guests are very special to me, because they give me the opportunity to hear their story. They feel safe with me, which is really big for me. And I feel very blessed to be that person that you feel comfortable with.
Yeah.
So I have a very special guest tonight because it's my son, Xavier Simmons. Yeah, so this is just very special to me, and I feel very honored to have my son on my show. Because one, it's not easy to do something like this. And two, it's with his mother. And three, just to feel free.
Yeah.
It's not easy feeling free. It's not easy opening up. It's not easy.
That's really it.
No, definitely not. It's not easy to tell your story, good or bad. Well, I shouldn't say good. It's not good to tell your story, especially when it has some real hurtful points in it. So I just know that it's not easy, like I said, to go in some really dark and hurtful places. Because we just, as human beings, I've learned on my journey that it's just not easy to do. A lot of people, we look at our journeys and our life and what we've been through, and you know, we went through it and that's it. You know, because in life we get older, we grow, and we try to move away from those places. You know, we try to push it in the back of our minds. So I know that it's not easy to go back, because a lot of us don't want to, because we feel that we don't have to. But I've learned that going back was the key to my healing. So, and just me being this young man's mother, I know that, you know, he was in a lot of dark places. He was in dark places that I didn't even know about, because, you know, I had a whole bunch of things that I was dealing with, and probably in my own dark places when he was in his dark places, that so I wasn't able to really address or even be there, you know, to even see that, because I was mentally not there. So I'm really, you know, grateful that you're taking the time and place and space, I should say, to be able to make yourself vulnerable to go to those places, you know, because what is a story without going in those dark places? You know, we love to talk about all the good stuff that we've been through and experienced in our lives, but, you know, I think what me and you have in common when we speak is we don't mind. We're not afraid to go in them dark places. And that's a blessing in itself that I'm learning, because a lot of people just don't want to do that. It's very fearful. It's very fearful to go to those places. So I'm just very happy, guys, basically, that my son agreed to come on and come into my place of freedom and feeling safe to share.
Yeah.
You know, so guys, you're just hearing it right now. You will see. You will be able to actually see. But I have a little thing set up real quick before we get into my son. You know, I'm a very big tea person from when I was small. My mom, you know, something about tea and sitting there and the feeling of the tea, the hot minty tea or whatever tea that you're drinking, and the smell of it, always brought me to a safe place. It always made me feel safe. When my mom, before she left, used to be sitting at a table every night and drinking tea, and I used to always join her for tea. And so for me now, as an adult, I always love to drink tea. Every time my kids are sick, I tell them drink tea. When I'm sick, I feel like drink tea. It always, tea makes everything better. So I want to create an aviance on the show where we have the tea and the candles. It's something about candles and the smell of the candles. It's just a piece in that. And I'm a big flower fan. And something about flowers, it just, for me, means life. So I have a nice little mixture going on right now, and I have my purple tablecloth, which means, the purple means royalty, and it also happens to be the color of my eagle, freedom of truth, and just everything. I love to surround everything with that purple. So yes, guys, so that's what I have going on right now. I try to make my guests feel very comfortable, and and I try to bring them into my world, and when they're, so that way when they share, I'm hoping that you guys feel very peaceful and safe, and I'm trying to create that kind of atmosphere. But without further ado, guys, I'm going to turn over the stage to my son, Xavier Simmons. Hey!
Hey, man.
Yeah.
Yo, you know, when you were talking about us being in our different dark places, right? Feeling like you weren't as present as you would have liked to have been. You know, this is not new to you, but yeah, we spoke about it. I, for a time, resented you. You know, that you weren't there. In some ways, as much as I'd like you to, because look, you left my dad, you took all of us, removed all of us out of that situation, and you said, you took a stand and said, this is not healthy for me, for our children. You have to go. You know, that was powerful. That was the biggest stand-up you ever could have done for all of us. You know, so I thank you immensely for that.
Thank you, and I appreciate that, because as a mother, you know, we just don't know. So I thank you. I appreciate that. And I'm happy that it was the right thing. Thank God. It really was. It was a life changing. And just so you guys know, because nothing negative on his dad.
Yeah.
Because we were constantly praying for him. But, you know, as parents has to realize is that we're parents first. And we gave life to these children, and our responsibility as parents is to keep them safe. And I truly believe myself, and this is just my opinion, you know, God created man and woman. To the woman is the nurturer, and the man is the protector. And for a long time, your dad was that. But, you know, things happen. He's human, and he got lost in the race somewhere. And I couldn't fall with him because I had a responsibility. Had I not had any kids, I may have gotten lost in the race for sure, because I was very lost. But the love I had for my children and knowing the responsibility to get them to the next level, the next chapter in their lives, to keep them safe, to keep their minds mentally and emotionally safe was the most important thing. And what I didn't realize is by doing that, I also was healing myself. Because, you know, we as human beings, we make decisions that we feel in our hearts is right.
Yeah.
But we don't know what the outcome is going to be. And that was one of the biggest life-changing things that I've ever did. I couldn't take a stand for myself. But I got the strength to take a stand for my children and thinking that I was doing the right thing. And I thank God 10 years later, here we are.
Yeah.
And I never feel any kind of way when you express your feelings because they're yours and you're my child. And it goes for anyone, even if they're not my child, if they're my friend, if they're my niece, they're my sister, father, mother, whoever. They're your feelings, and you should be able to share, and I should be that person to be able to listen, because that's what life is about, you know, letting people express themselves, regardless if it doesn't feel good or not. At least you understand what that person is feeling. So just so you know, as we go on into the interview, feel free to express what you want to, because they are your feelings, and there's healing in expressing and letting those feelings go. It's not good to hold them in. And that's what Freedom of Truth is about. It's about letting go. It's about feeling free. Because I know, for one, that I wouldn't be here today if I wasn't able to express myself. Because every time I expressed what I felt, I was being healed in my soul, in my heart, in my mind. It felt good because I was so afraid. I grew up so afraid. That's another story, but thank you for that.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. That's real, because...
And thank you for accepting and hearing it. Yeah. Hearing it and embracing it as a parent, you know, because there are even a couple times where, like, you were open about it. That's what I love. Like, you're always open with me. You always shoot it straight at me. And you always allow me to shoot it straight back. You know, I feel safe to share with you, and you feel safe to share with me. Even when I was saying those times, like how I felt or resentful, I remember a couple of times you said, you know, that hurt me a little bit, but I'm going to take what you said and sit with it.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for always doing that, too.
Because when I allowed you to do that,
yeah,
it allowed a wound to heal,
yeah,
in you. And I know that now. I see that. You know, at first, I believe, no, I think it's my makeup,
yeah,
you know, because I'm still learning myself every day. But I definitely think, I thank God that I was open to do that, because I'm learning as I get out more, too, that, you know, a lot of parents, I think it comes from a good place, but they don't want to hear what they did wrong when it's coming from their child, because mm-hmm, I believe that they want to do everything right. So they don't want to accept but I believe they go to a place afterwards and probably cry, or it cuts them some way. But I believe when you show make yourself vulnerable, you let your child know, okay, that hurt, but I'm going to try to do better.
Yeah.
That is healing, and that's moving forward. Because that's all we can do as human beings, is accept what we've done and move forward. That's what a responsible human being is supposed to do. Not only see one side, because it's a two-way conversation. So how am I going to only see my side? But there are people like that.
Yeah.
I know a few.
Yeah.
I'm sure you do too.
Yeah.
But,
there was also, I came to a lot of growth and understanding, whether it's just reading books on healing, podcasts, therapy, or just spending time with myself, and really seeing that parents are people. Mm-hmm. That's it.
And that's the bottom line.
You know, they do, all of us, we do the best we can with what we have. You know, and I stopped, the older I got, like in my late middle teens and late teens, like early 20s, I'm like 24 now, almost 25. And I used to judge my dad. I used to be really, really angry at him. But us talking, like, you would tell me stories from his childhood, and I was like, wait a minute, he was just trying to do good. He was trying to do what he perceived was best.
Yep. And that's all that we can do as people.
Yeah.
And you know, on that note, you see how just being brutally honest about life and I'm just reflecting on again what I said, you know, when it was the darkest times in our lives, when I knew that you was resenting your dad big time and, you know, you just couldn't understand his actions. You know, I used to always, you know, try to give you the positive outlook on your dad, the positive always. Person. Yeah, that because what I've learned is, I mean, you can't, and this is in general, guys, for anybody that you are in relations with, and I don't mean a man, I mean period in general, because this is what it is, relationships. I have a sister, I have girlfriends, you know what I mean? People that's, anyone that's around you and you're expecting something from them, they can't give you what they don't have. And that's what I've learned in my journey, in my growth of life, period, in general. Whether it's a friend, a girlfriend, brother, sister, mother, father, people have backstories. We're not born and raised. What did I teach you when you grew up? I taught you how to take a shower and how to, you know, and when you meet girls, you want to smell good and, you know, your education and, you know what I mean? But I'm only teaching you what I know.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a lot of things I don't know that I wasn't able to teach you. Mm. So in your dad's defense, what was he taught? He was thrown in a group home at the age of 7. You know what I mean? And, you know, it was, you know, from what he told me, you know, wasn't treated the best, you know, coming up. So what can he give me? What can he give you? Hmm. Only what he saw on TV is what he used to tell me. Well, now we have money, so we have to go and get a maid or get this or that. You know, he really literally was just going on what he was instilled in him. And that's how it is for everyone. You know what I mean? You can only give what you have. And I believe that, and I mean this, you know, from the bottom of my heart, he gave over and beyond what he was given because life didn't serve him very well. He didn't really get a good piece of the pie growing up, as I didn't, you know. And everyone has different effects, but, you know, he literally created, you know, what he thought was best. And it fell, you know, because it happens. But that's why we continue to pray for him.
And, you know, you said something that really struck a nerve with me. What, something along, like, we expect them to give? Expect, and expectations. That's such a
so profoundly,
and it's a heavy word, because how many times, let's say you're in a relationship, I expect you to know this, or you're talking to your child, I expect you to know this, or your brother, your sister,
it goes without saying,
like, we're all experiencing life differently. You can't expect anything from anyone. You're expecting them because of your own mind, your thinking, instead of, like, expecting them to be something. Just let them be,
and to let them be can get ugly, because it's not going to be what you expect, but
what you hope for.
Yeah. But it is what it is, yeah. By letting them be. And that's freedom for them.
Yeah.
To let them be who they want to be. Mm.
Ooh, it's like...
Should I re-say that? Because I was heavy. No. And I turned my head.
Yeah, say it
again. So you have to let them be who they are.
Yeah.
Because that's... who they are, and it's freedom in letting them be who they are. So on that note,
yeah,
that's what I did for you. Mm. Because there were a lot of things that I expected from you. I shouldn't say a lot, but there were some things that I expected from you on the way up, you know, as in your teenage years, in your young adult years. But I had to really think outside of me and let you be. This young man hasn't been taught a lot of things. He missed a lot of things. This is what happens when you're in a dysfunctional home, when you're with two parents, because I'm not only going to throw it on your dad. I came from a very dysfunctional home and upbringing when I missed a lot of things. So you get two people like that together that's basically trying to figure out life the most loving way that we know how.
Yeah.
You're going to miss some things, which is fine because we're not perfect. That's what life is about, figuring it out.
Yeah.
But don't get stuck. That's the problem. But before, I know you want to say something, but I want to kind of go, that was good, right? I want to go back a little bit in your childhood, though.
Yeah.
Because the reason why, guys, I wanted to, interview my son is because he's a very big inspiration to me, which I left out. So much to add into this. But he's such a big inspiration to me. He is actually one of my biggest inspirations and a big part of my healing. We definitely heal together and we learn together on our journey. And he's almost not, it's crazy how the universe works because it's almost like you've been through almost the same thing I've been through.
Mm.
I was abandoned at 14 by my mom, and it's unfortunately the truth. You was abandoned by your dad at the age of 14. You had a lot of resentment towards him. The blessing in your situation is, though, you know, my dad checked out. I checked in. And, you know, I was there. But at the same time, you know, I was going through my things. But you inspired me so much because to see your transition, to see you transition in such, such a crazy way. Like, because it was like we're still going through stuff because that was just the beginning. Once, you know, your dad and me split up, that was just the beginning of a whole bunch of different things that really dark, you know, because before we got here, it was very, very dark, guys. And not only is my son now being abandoned by, you know, his dad and his mom pretty, you know, there, but not like I feel like he needed her to be there. Mm. He had to deal with himself. And, you know, I remember you going through a depression. I remember you not coming out your room. But one thing I have to say is he was always respectful. Just so you guys know, he never was disrespectful in his transition. He was very sheltered and to himself, but and angry maybe and resentful towards me. But I never saw that. Always respectful. I just knew something was wrong because I knew my child. But tell me about, you know, touch on whatever you want to touch on, son.
Damn. Where do I even, like, start? I mean, there was a lot of depression. A lot of depression. Deep. I went through a lot of self-esteem issues. You know, I come, like at school, it was pretty bad. Kids would, you know, call me ugly and, you know, make fun of me for like my intelligence, right? And like being picked on, monkey in the middle, my hat all the way on the bus, the whole ride. And then I get off and come home and the time my dad is just in my ear. And kind of just feeling looked over, you know. I remember being in my room a lot, just, you know, in my Legos and little TV, little Disney Channel, right? I remember coming home one day and, like, I hated myself so much. I thought I was so ugly that I would have to be forced to bathe like the nanny would have to force me because that's how ugly I thought I was. I believed I wasn't worthy of cleanliness. I thought that was a privilege reserved for the beautiful. Yeah. And it was hard, man. It was hard. It was maybe all over the place. All over the place. There was so much anger. And I remember, like, in high school, maybe like my junior year, there was a talent show and I had won it. And I felt like finally validated. You know, I am worth something. I have something to offer, something to give. And it got carried away to a certain point where, you know, I started getting eyes from, you know, women, and that inflated me up, like, yeah, finally I'm beautiful. Mm. Finally I'm beautiful. And for so long, yes, it's coming to me. For so long, I was a slave to this idea of beauty. I was chasing it so much of my life because I felt I was deprived of it. So whether it was through music, playing open mics, people applauding me, yeah, it was so good. I am worthy. I am beautiful. Whether it's being women coming on to me, oh, you're handsome. Yes, I am beautiful. I am worth something. And it was, I can't put it any other way, a slave to it.
Validated.
Yes.
To feel important, to feel like you are somebody.
Yes.
You needed validation from other people because you weren't getting it at home. Because you were being looked over.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm underlining that, guys, you know, parents and children that's, you know, listening in, that you could tell your mom to listen in. That's what happens when people go through so much stuff. Because it could be in your workplace. You could, when your minds are just not where it's supposed to be, your children can be looked over. And I just want people that's listening in to take the time to, no matter what's going on in their lives, to take the time for your children, your boyfriend, your sister, whoever that you have that relationship with that needs you, take the time, because they're somebody. If you're that type of person that's always listening, take the time for yourself to let somebody hear you. Because you are that type of person that, and I know this from, you know, just from our experiences, that even before I knew that you were in these dark places of feeling looked over, I used to always talk to you because you were a safe place for me to go to because you were my son. Not even thinking that maybe something's going on with you. Because I was just so full of my stuff. So I say that to say that just take some consideration, people, you know, of the person that's listening to you. What are they going through? Because I remember there was a time where the more I started to begin to heal, fucking psycho out there. I remember, you know, there was a time where, you know, when I started to heal and come out of, you know, the cloud that I was in, when I was talking to you, after I finished talking to you, I thought to myself, I never asked him, how did he feel? Like, you know how, and that's why I said about that two-way conversation. You know, I started realizing that I was just pouring all my stuff on you. And never to, you know, to say, hey, how was your day? How are you feeling today? And, you know, I still, not as bad, but I kind of still struggle with that because I'm still, you know, constantly dealing with things. But I try to take the time out now. So I just wanted to point that out while everyone's listening in that, you know, that's very important.
Yo, I'm sorry. I'm laughing because, like, for one, all right, everything, I learned this in therapy, that try to see the humor in everything.
Yeah.
When you laugh at it, you make your heart lighter, mm-hmm. no matter what it is. So, like, there was a time, maybe like the past, you know, maybe 2 years, mm-hmm. I got more into myself, more into my healing, mm-hmm. and realized, like, yo, I'm listening to my mom, you know, really vent and let her stuff go. When I was listening to me, like, do I listen to me? You know, I listen to me. And so there were a few times where, like,
you just ignore.
Yeah. not like ignore, but like keep it quick. Like, you'll be talking to me, like, I'll walk past your room, be like, yeah, Zay. And I'll be like, yeah, I gotta go mix this breakfast. and I'll get in the kitchen. I'll be like,
what? Oh. You're like, yeah. I might have picked up on that. Because sometimes I know. Sometimes I'm I mean, I think you still do it now. Yeah, like, yeah. Sometimes, like, I'll just, so you know, guys, like, I wait till he passes that by my room. Because he in his little relationship now. So, you know, I try to catch him. And I'll say, yeah, oh, Xavier, God. So. And then he'll be like, yeah, I got out of the bathroom. I just woke up. And I'd be like, okay, that was a big hit. Okay, I'll just keep this one to myself. But the timing couldn't have been better because I'm in a good place now. But that's funny. That's funny.
And you know what I've I've also been getting better with, like, even if I am feeling like, because it is good to listen, but, you know, both sides.
Yeah.
But getting to a place where, like, okay, hey, mom, you know, I'm getting a little overwhelmed. Boom.
It's healthy.
Yeah, yeah. You know, just like if I'm, because we don't know how the other person is feeling. We could just be talking, like, hey, let me get your ear with something. Not knowing the other person is like, I just got up. Like,
overwhelmed.
Yeah, like, let me meditate a little bit. You don't know.
Yeah. And, so it's good to be honest.
It's good to be honest.
It's good to be honest.
Yeah.
Okay, so you were in a deep, you was in a place of depression, you know, very looking for a lot of self, external validation, which is, we all know is horrible because, and I've been there too, you'll never, you know, be totally satisfied, you know, if you was to constantly continue to go there. So, this is why you're so inspiring to me, though. And I've actually literally watched your walk and learned from it because I used to be a big people pleaser. And like you, when people showed me a lot of attention, I felt like I was on the right track, that I'm doing everything right, you know, because they're paying attention to me. When they're not paying attention to me, that means I must be doing something wrong. Which is so inaccurate, guys, just so you know. So I watched my son go from that place of not needing external validation. Yeah. I'm sorry. So how were you able to transition out that place? Because there are still people my age and older that still haven't been able to do that.
You know what? It's...
I mean, I guess you could give us a piece of your journey.
Definitely.
I mean...
Because it is... It is a process. It's a long process. You think it happens overnight. When you look back, you're like, whoa, it wasn't that at all. It's a mental shift. It's a spiritual shift. You have to start small. Like, with me, okay, perfect example. I was always known for being a kid who dressed well, always. my senior year came around, and I was like, I put so much worth, self-worth on the way that I dressed. People were like, oh, Xavier, nice shoes. Xavier, nice shirt. Oh, I was like, yeah, okay, yeah. Then senior year hit, I was like, listen, I'm done. I'm going to go to school with some 4X large sweatpants, some beat up sneakers, a shirt that whatever, like it's wrinkled, right?
I remember that.
You remember.
I thought he was losing it, guys. Didn't make sense to me at the time.
And just kept doing it, maybe like my whole senior year. And for me, I felt like, not felt, I knew that I was getting my power back. Wow. People were saying to me, oh, you fell off, you look bummy. Okay, I could look bummy, but I don't care. Because you know what? For so long, I've been a slave to what other people say about me. I'm finally taking a stand and saying, no, this, I'm going to do what the hell I want to do. I'm going to dress how I want to. Yeah, bummy sweatpants, but I feel comfortable in my skin. I have a peace of mind with myself.
And that's taking your power back.
It is.
Is taking, because you gave them the power.
Hello.
When you were, hungry for their validation.
Yep.
So when you cut that off and you put on whatever you wanted to,
yep,
and what they said no longer meant anything to you, it was because you grabbed your power back and you said, no, I'm in control of this.
Yeah.
I live in this body. I say what goes. And that's what you did.
Mm.
And a lot of people can't do it. Mm. And how old were you? 18?
Yeah.
18 years old? A lot of times when children deal with a lot of depression at that age, it sometimes kind of goes to suicide.
Yeah, man.
You know what I'm saying? I remember you told me you thought about that before.
Oh, yeah.
It ran across your mind.
Yeah.
And suicide is so high right now because I feel, because of stuff like this. I mean, even now, adults deal with this type of stuff where they're looking for that external, validation all the time. So, and I just kind of went somewhere else just now with it, because I feel like even with the social media, it's like, how many likes did I get?
Mm.
You know, it's like, oh, how many views did I get? And if I didn't do, I kind of struggle with that too, sometimes, because I'm like, did I say something right? Or maybe I didn't say something right. Or what are they like? And at the end of the day, it's, what do you like?
Ooh.
If only one person liked it and viewed it, it doesn't matter, because you liked it. And hopefully one day, maybe they'll follow along,
yeah,
and they'll get it. But right now, it's about what you like and what you want and what you feel is important. And the, you know, kids and parents, adults that's going, you know, going through depression or going through external, validation, and thinking about suicide and all those things just because people are not giving them what they think they need.
Mm.
Guys, here's someone that was 18 years old that was going through a horrible depression.
Yeah.
And kind of suicidal thoughts, never, really following through with anything like that,
yeah,
but running through your mind shows you what of a dark place that you were in.
Absolutely.
And you pull yourself out by just taking back your power and doing what you want.
Yeah.
Everything starts in the mind, guys. Everything starts in our mind.
Mm.
You think it, that's what you are. You thought you needed instant, you needed validation from others, and that's what your life was surrounded by.
Mm.
That's what you know what I'm saying? But as soon as you said in your mind, uh-uh.
Yeah.
What you think, no longer means nothing to me. You got your power back.
Mm.
Okay, so that was the ending of that chapter when,
yeah,
you were 18.
Yep, that. There was another, along those same lines, but another example of cutting those ties of what people like, how they view you, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was, I forgot what age it was, maybe around 18.
Okay, a lot was going on in 18.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, you know this. You'd always get the boys bald beanhead haircuts, right?
Me. The easy way out.
Yeah. And it was programmed into me. I believe that I only looked good if my head was shaved.
Wow. Right?
Yeah, because it was so long. I'm like, well, my mom's saying it. My parents are saying it. My girl's saying it. My teachers are saying it. Friends saying it. Well, damn, I got to keep my head shaved or else I'm not going to be beautiful. I'm not going to be liked.
Wow.
Right? So at 18, I was like, yo, let me try an experiment. I don't only want to love myself love myself when my head is shaved. I want to have unconditional self-love. So I grew my hair out.
I remember that.
I mean, look at it now, but it was maybe out to here.
I remember that.
And I remember looking in the mirror all the time like, wow.
Just loving yourself.
Loving. You know, and everybody in the house was funny because you were like, boy, cut that hair, look like Wolfman. My
yep.
aunts were getting
everybody,
on me.
I remember that.
And I'm like, I don't care. And
again, in our ignorance, we thought Xavier was losing.
Yeah.
Just so you guys know. Just because people are going through change in their own selves doesn't mean that they're losing it, guys. Mm. Allow people to be.
Yes. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
And like after, you know, several months, I think I let it grow for like eight, nine months. I looked in the mirror one day and I said, I want to cut it. Not because anyone told me to or I think I'm just handsome. Right. That's my decision. And then just so much peace came over me.
Wow.
And once I looked, I was like, wow, shaved, unshaved, hairy, I love me.
Wow.
Yeah.
That must have been a powerful moment in your life because it was almost like you closed that door.
Mm.
Like you really closed it in the most healthiest way that you could.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You just didn't move out of that space because you didn't like that space anymore.
Yeah.
And you can go here. No, you allowed yourself to grow out of that place and move on to your next chapter. And that's exactly what you did. And I'm learning something here.
Yeah. Wow.
I'm really learning something here. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, life is not about turning your back on stuff and leaving it unresolved because it always stays somewhere inside of us. It's about growing out of that chapter and moving healthy into the next one.
Mm.
So you could have those tools that you need to face that next chapter.
Ooh, you just made me think of something. I'm sure you've heard the saying, you can do anything you put your mind to, right?
Yes.
That we say that so casually, but that's really heavy.
It really is.
Anything you put your mind to, because then you have to think, what kind of mind do you have? Is it broken? Is it polluted? Is it sad? And you could be 40 years old, but still be 12. And you cannot become your full potential because your mind isn't operating and your spirit isn't operating at its full potential because it's still 12. It's not 40, it's 12.
Yep.
And that's so, I made, and I'm you have too. We've shared this with each other. At a certain point, you have to make a decision. Like, you have to make a decision and accept, okay, I was abandoned. I grew up in a dysfunctional home. These are the cards I was dealt. All right. How do I move forward? Now I am responsible for myself. And you have to ask, how do I become the parent, the lover, the older brother, the whatever, the older sister that I wish I had? You know? And when you come to that place of understanding, you do all of the things, all of the healing you wish, or the nurturing that you wish had been done to you. Yeah.
And that's what I've done.
Hello.
And that's what I've done. I've everything you just said is what I've done. I came to the realization that I was abandoned.
Yes.
More than once. I grew up dysfunctional. I was treated messed up. I was looked over. Mm. I'm a people pleaser. I need external gratification. Validation, gratification. How do I move past this to be a better me? Mm. How would I want to be treated? How did I want to be treated when I was a little 12-year-old, 14-year-old, 16-year-old? Because I lost my whole childhood. Mm. But how would the young Tashira, little girl Tashira, teenage Tashira, the young woman Tashira, want to be treated?
My chills.
And I passed it on to my children.
Yeah.
I treat my daughter Praise the way the 12-year-old Tashira would have wanted to be treated. Mm. I treat my son Sean, that's 15, the way my brother, the 15-year-old that he was never able to be treated by his mother, my 18-year-old son, and then you.
I'm like,
I've done that without even realizing it. And it's okay, man.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's what.
What?
Yeah. Oh, I love you too so much. So much.
So much, man.
Oh, thank you, God, for giving me this woman, this mother.
Okay. Well, thank you for a son like you. I couldn't have had anything better. You make my life worth living. Seriously. You and my other siblings make my life worth living. I don't know where I would be without you guys. You constantly teach me every day. And this is freedom. Mm. This is freedom. We did it.
We did it. We did it.
We did it.
We did it.
We did it. We did it. Isn't it beautiful?
So beautiful.
And through hurt comes so much pleasure. Through so much hurt. Mm. If you walk through that hurt the way you're supposed to, because life is hurt. It's gonna hurt. Things are gonna hurt. I don't want a life that feels good. I don't. Because it made us these unbelievably strong people, full of so much substance. So much substance that you have now. Mm. And how you're pouring it out on your girlfriend now.
Yes, yes.
Because you have done the work. And no one could stop you now. No one could penetrate. No one could break you down. Because you've done the work. Been there, did that. I see your pain. Come over here.
Yeah.
Let me show you how to walk through this.
Yes.
And this is what we have done. And guys, our listeners, this is what life is about. It's about sharing. It's about walking through the pain together. It's about growing together. It's about healing together. It's about confronting. You know what I mean? Mm. It's, I love you, son.
I love you too.
And I'm like, this is beautiful.
Damn, yeah.
This is beautiful. This is a breakthrough, guys. It's a breakthrough. This is what it was all for. Everything we've been through, because Lord knows we have been through some painful things, and we made it. That's all I could say. I know that our movie will come out one day so people could really see and how you don't have to live in hurt, you don't have to live stuck, you don't have to live in your pain, you don't have to be that little 12-year-old girl stuck in a place and can't get out. Mm. Open up them doors like we did. Go back and revisit the little girl, the little boy,
yes,
who was left behind, who was left looked over, you know, with no hugs, no kisses, no ears to listen to. You know what I mean? Go back and find out what they need to move forward. Find out what makes you happy. That's what I've done. I don't even care. Right now, you already know. I'm ready to ride down. I'll ride bikes. I'll go down the snow slope with my kids. I'll freaking get on rides. I mean, I'm forever young.
Yes.
I'm living through my children. I'm living. I'm letting Tashira live. I'm letting Tashira have fun. What?
Bloom.
Bloom. Exactly. I'm letting Tashira do that. We deserve it. We only have one life. We act like we got a second chance at this. No, I'm not moving forward without confronting and opening up that door for little Xavier, for little Tacoma, for little Praise, for little Sean, for little Tashira.
Yes.
Even for Grandpa.
Because it's never too
late. It's never too late.
70 years old.
And just because of the things that we've been through and the work that we're doing in ourselves, We look at Grandpa.
Yeah.
We see his the little boy that he never let live. And I believe through us that he's doing that now. You know what I'm saying? I see it.
Me too.
And how is it? How is it? How is Grandpa growing? Because we're confronting him.
Yeah.
Respectfully though. We're calling him on his things. Grow, Grandpa, grow. Mm. Let that little boy come out and have fun. You ain't gotta. You're safe here.
Yeah.
There's nothing fake here with us. And I mean, I just feel so grateful, and I thank God every day that I'm able to be your mom. Mm. Like, we're a pack of angels. I truly believe that. I don't care. People could think this is so extra deep. No. I believe that there's evil and there's good in the world. There's devils and there's angels. And I believe that I have been surrounded with a pack of them. I believe that the devil knew that we were a pack of angels. So he tried to cast and break us down. But we were able to rise and fix our wings. And now we're out here. We're going to do some work now. And we're going to help a whole bunch of broken people through our pain, through our hurt. This is what we're going to do. These are our duties here on earth, because our time here is limited. And it's what we do at our time is what's important. And that's what we're both doing, Xavier.
Yes.
And, I mean, dag, I think we wrapped up all
here. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Dag.
Yeah, that was even more powerful, profound than I even dreamed. Like, I knew it was going to be powerful, just our openness that we have between each other and our depth. But
I had no idea.
My expectations. Wait.
It really did. It really did. And guys, just so you know, when you see the visual, the only reason why I didn't totally just break down is because I need my lashes.
Yo, you know what? I can't. Yo. Oh my God.
We're going out to eat later, and I'm gonna need these lashes. But
oh,
I'm telling you, that was so refreshing to my soul. The healing that I just got, you guys are not able, you're not going to be able to see. This was definitely, like we just talked about, the beginning of our next chapter.
Yeah.
This is the beginning of our next chapter.
Mm.
And guys,
And I want to share. I feel like I just have to share.
Please.
I'm in a relationship, loving, loving relationship, that there, right before we met each other,
because
we're coming up on a year, I thought I would never find love. So many disappointments. I'm like, you know what, maybe it's just not in the cards for me.
Mm.
And it's so divine. The first question I asked her, because she works at the gym where I go. I asked her, do you think in this day and age, love still exists? The first words we said, and all uphill from there. Like, just exposing each other for the better, for the worst. All of the hurt and turning it into healing. It has been a beautiful journey.
A beautiful journey, a gift.
Yes. You know,
a gift that you thought that would never even happen in this lifetime after all you've experienced and just the ugly that's out there.
Yeah.
How could you ever, I mean, I'm in that same place right now. Just the person that I am, I don't know what's in the cards for me. Mm. You know what I'm saying? I don't knock it, but I don't know if I'm going to meet someone that's compatible, you know? Mm. So I'm the best gift a mother could have ever gotten was for her son to find love. Someone to truly love him for him and appreciate you, which is so much important, and someone that can listen to you and understand you.
Yeah.
And that is a mother's wish and dream, and I feel like I've gotten that, and I wish that for my other sons and my daughter. And I believe we're going to get that because what we put out, we get back. And we have been putting nothing but good out there under the circumstances. We've never let any situation we went through make us bitter and turn us ugly.
Yes.
We had patience and we believed in something supernatural. Because it's supernatural. People that live every day and walk on this earth, a lot of people are empty. They don't have any hope. They don't believe in much. And they're good. They have money. They have great, they're brought up great. They still don't have hope. Here it is. We're somebody who were given the ugliest things in life. And we've turned it into beautiful, 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 beauty, just beauty. Nothing but positivity. And you look at us and you can't even tell that what we've been through.
That's
supernatural.
Yeah.
Because most people just don't have that. So guys, as you can hear, I mean, I don't even know how much time, I mean, how much long. I know we only have an hour. I don't even know if we went over the hour. I have another guest coming up that I'm so excited to interview as well. But I mean, holy cow, this has been, can you find the words? Because your vocabulary is bigger than mine.
Transformative.
This has been transformative. That's what we're going to call this episode. We are going to call this episode transformative. Everyone who's listening in and who's watching, I hope that this episode between my son and I transform you into the next place. Take you out of that stuck place. Visit those areas that's uncomfortable. It's okay. What happened here is the freedom of telling the truth. And that's why it's the name of this show. And I stand by it because it's what gave us freedom and healing. Can you see me?
Yeah, I can see.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm just like, wow, this.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
And this is a gift that I was able to give back to you. And this is, I can't even ask. As a mother, and I know, or a father, you know, it's the same because there's a lot of amazing fathers out there. All we ever want in life is to be able to make sure that we give our kids a freedom in their spirit, in their soul, that is unbreakable. Because this world will freaking break you. But what I have transformed from myself to you, I truly believe when I leave this earth, you will be unbreakable as I am. Because I rip in tears sometimes because I'm human. I'm in a fleshly body, but my spirit cannot be broken. And I believe yours can either.
Thank you.
From the things that we've been through. And I'm grateful to the higher power. So, with that being said, guys, me and my son could sit here for hours because this is what we do. But I hope that you were inspired by our story, by our truth. We've been nothing but, we've done nothing but made ourselves vulnerable, and it feels freaking good. And I hope that you guys can do the same, because it's so important to make yourself vulnerable and open up and allow the universe to work on you. Because it's so much better on this side, isn't it, son?
Yes.
Being happy and knowing who we are and not letting nobody have the power over us.
Yeah.
Yeah, matter of fact, I think I'm going to walk outside butt naked tomorrow. So, without further ado, guys.
Yeah. I just want to let you finish.
Do you? No, I'm going to, well... Any last words before we close up?
No, just tell people where to find me, but...
Oh,
yeah.
My gosh, because clearly we have to have... You have to come on the show again, because... It's a lot. It's a lot. It's just like my story. It's a lot. We can't get it all in this hour, so we're going to have you back, and I know a lot of people are going to want you back, but where can we find you?
Yeah, I'm on Instagram... Xavier Simmons 92. I'm on SoundCloud, the same, Xavier Simmons. Well, that's going to be under my Instagram, so it's all in one area. That's where I live. Like, people message me, I love your videos, your posts, keep inspiring, your music. So that's where I am.
And that's where you can find him. And he's genuine. He's from the heart and soul, like his mama.
Yeah.
He's real. Is what you see is what you get, guys. This was amazing. This was amazing. I'm lost for words. Thank you guys for listening into Freedom of Truth. This is what Freedom of Truth is about. It's about being open. It's being honest. It's about crying. It's about laughing. It's about healing. It's about just everything that's positive and above.
Yeah.
So until next week, guys, I love you.
Peace.